best of FUBAR Radio. FUBAR Radio presents Access All Areas.
We've got Danny from Love Island.
He's so handsome.
thanks for having me, guys. Thank you.
Danny Williams.
Thanks so much for coming in. Obviously, it's worked out fairly well for you. We had your girlfriend Jordan on last week.
Yeah, really, really happy. I think since the weeks I've been out and what's been happening, my relationship with Jordan has been developing. I wouldn't have changed a single thing.
Should I buy a hat?
Should you buy a hat that says what Danny's in love for?
Danny's getting married?
For the wedding.
Are there wedding bells?
A wedding hat.
Are there wedding bells, Danny?
Are there wedding bells?
Could be.
Not yet, it's been a month, but...
Every Thursday from 6 p.m. FUBAR Radio.
I have a special guest co-host with me this evening. Do you prefer Alex or Alexandra?
Alex is totally cool. Alexandra is way too many syllables.
You're absolutely right. It is. Yeah. It's Alex from Love Island 26. 18.
Woohoo!
Yeah. Thank God. I was having to work that out then. The gossiping is already starting. Yeah. The gossiping is beginning. What is going down? I had my headphones on and you were telling me something and I couldn't hear it.
I don't know. What was
it's
going
Ricky
on?
Raven. Ricky
on
Raven,
my...
by the way.
I haven't got my headphones on.
You don't have to. You can hear me anyway.
Yeah,
it's fine.
I've sort of, because I love fishing, I've turned into like a fishing maniac. I've got a fishing clothing company. I've got a fishing book coming out. I've got a fishing show starting next year. We start filming it this month.
Awesome.
The cookbook comes out before Christmas, though. I think it'll be DVD as well.
Okay.
So you catch the fish and then cook it?
No.
Oh.
So basically, like when you go fishing, you've got to eat, innit?
Oh, right.
Okay. Take a sandwich.
So it's like a... Yeah, well, yeah, of course. When you take a sandwich, if you go for a week, what are you
going to
do?
Oh, I see. Like a fishing holiday.
Yeah, like tomorrow I'll go fishing till Monday.
Do you do that?
Yeah, I'm going tomorrow till Monday. Yeah.
I've never even heard of that.
Where do you live? Like, what's the matter with you?
I live in Hackney. Well, I live in Muswell Hill.
In Hackney. Ain't no lake train.
There's not many places to go fishing.
Well, yeah. So you can go on a long trip if you want. Four days, five days, six days.
What you're doing in talking about in your book then?
No, at the minute, yeah. It's just a cookbook for fishing. So different ideas that you can use, like limited amount of ingredients for. You can do it quick. You can do it on the side of the bank.
I guess you can't carry a fridge
with
you.
It's like Bear Grylls.
Yeah, all sort of like that. But you've got to do it on the side of the bank.
Ricky Raymond, the new Bear Grylls.
Yeah, well, I would like to do his show, to be honest.
Would you?
Yeah, I'd love all that. I'm an adrenaline junkie. I jump out of planes. I've jumped off buildings, so.
Why?
You're nutter.
Because I just love it. Do you know what I mean? Just being that close to death, you know? No, I just love it.
Absolutely terrifying.
Yeah, but it's just fun, isn't it? For me, anyway.
If
a lot of people
so.
Probably hate it, but yeah, I like it.
But were you into all that when you were on TOWIE and that?
I was when I was younger. Then when I went on TOWIE, it sort of restricts what you can do.
On your contract, they're like, no fishing.
No, it's not that. It's just you don't have the time.
Right, yeah.
Do you know what I mean? You just don't have the time to do it all.
You know, too much drama going on.
When you show on something like that, you're just like,
Plus,
I had a girlfriend, and a lot of guys will know if you've got a girlfriend, fishing gets limited.
That's not true. You just find a girlfriend that allows you to continue doing your hobby.
Listen, I've been looking for 4 years, isn't it? Yeah, and she still ain't back.
Just looking around Essex, though? Maybe that's the problem.
What do you mean? I'm from Hertfordshire. He's looking
I live in Hertfordshire now. How mad is that? I live in Bishop Stortford.
Do you really?
Yeah. I've been following you. No, I've had girlfriends from Newcastle, obviously.
Oh, yeah.
Essex, true, Birmingham. Yeah. I've been everywhere.
He's all over the globe.
Yeah? I can't find the right one yet.
I reckon you need to look closer to home.
I have. I've actually... No, actually, I won't speak.
Yeah.
Go on.
Too soon.
Okay. There might be someone in there.
No, not even... It's not even... Yeah.
Fine.
Yeah.
Just a pen pal.
Yeah, sort of, yeah.
I'm covering your back here.
No, that's all right. It's not like she's going to be listening. Oh. It's fine. She won't.
You've both got, I don't know if you call Dr. Alex a famous ex, but you both have, you know, people in your life who are kind of repute. You know, people know who they are.
Yeah.
Did you see this thing today about Dougie from McFly saying he'd been invited to Ellie Goulding's wedding but decided not to go because he thought it wouldn't be appropriate?
I would never go to my ex's wedding, ever.
Even if you're friendly afterwards?
Never. Just for the respect of the groom. I wouldn't like it if my wife's, or future wife's, ex was sitting in the thing going... Like, it just, you know what I mean?
I think it generally depends on the relationship that you guys have got now, because
speaking from
a maturity level, I don't think there's anything wrong with it if you kind of got over the bitterness of whatever the relationship ended.
I can guarantee I will not be going to Jess or Marnie's wedding. I guarantee I won't get an invite.
No, but that's so, because you ended badly.
But if you had
an ex that you got along with and you still remain friends, they played a big part in your life. if they wanted to come to the wedding and your partner was okay with that, you would have them there.
Oh, well, that's you. Really.
Clearly
that's
not. Me. Well, you know, actually,
I won't invite my exes to my wedding. Just to say, everything's about would be about my wife, yeah? So I wouldn't
that's
even think
sweet.
About going, oh, shall I invite my ex or what? I just wouldn't do it. I just think it's unnecessary. They don't need to be
I do
there.
Think there are two kinds of people in the world. I think I'm more on your side, Alex. I actually made a wedding cake for my ex.
Yeah.
Like, I made him his full-on wedding cake.
Right, I'm friends with most of my exes.
Yeah. Yeah, well, I'm pleased for them that they've moved on. Like, not initially. Initially, I'm like, but then eventually,
you become happy for them. Yeah, then you're just like, want happiness for them. You cared about them, so you're like, well, I want you to be happy.
That's exactly
I'm
how
proud
I am.
Of you.
Yeah.
Please, Anyway.
I want them to be happy.
Ricky's not reached that stage yet.
Just behave yourselves, right? Well, I guarantee you there's plenty of people out there who agree with me and plenty who agree with you.
I think that's what I mean, though. I think it's quite a split thing, right? Like, some people would and some people wouldn't. And everyone's different.
Yeah.
Never say never.
That's what makes the world go around, isn't it?
Yeah.
Just never say never.
That is such a Towie learned media phrase. The amount of time I've heard someone from Towie say, when you go, will you ever go back to Towie? Well, I never say never. Will you ever go back to Towie?
Well, I've never seen... No, I'm joking. No, I think that ship's out a while ago. So.
To be honest, I think it's probably a bit poison chalice these days, isn't it?
Is it?
Well, I think so.
Why is that?
It's just not as big as it used to be, right?
Nah.
So it's kind of hard to make a name out of from your...
I mean, I miss it. I mean, it was great. We had so much fun and we went to so many different places and, you know, me just being with the cast and that, it was good. It was good fun. But, like, you know, it was a lot of stress as well, so.
Yeah.
FUBAR Radio presents...
Callum McSwiggan.
I am joined by the incredible poet and author, Dean Atta. You were recently on the cover of Attitude magazine.
I was on the front cover with my partner, Tom, and we were kissing, and they wanted to do a cover. It was a bit terrifying.
Yeah, I was
like,
about to say.
Doing the shoot, we shot outside, and we had people, like, honking, some in support, some in, like, with negative comments to make.
Oh,
like,
gosh.
Someone on a bike said, ugh. Someone in a car just shouted the word gay, and I was just like, yeah, like, that's the point. And it was really interesting because the whole team doing the shoot was like, this is the reason we're doing this.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah,
because we need to confront these things.
Every Wednesday.
Callum McSwiggan.
From 6 p.m. FUBAR Radio.
Today I am joined by the absolute legends from Pussy Palace. I'm going to be joined by the lovely Dan shortly, but with me in the studio now is Aidan. How are
Hello.
You doing?
I'm good, thank you. How are you?
I'm amazing. Yeah. Now, it's a pleasure to have you here.
Thank you for having us.
Because I feel like you're making some really, really important waves within the queer community right now. Do you want to give our lovely listeners who don't know about Pussy Palace a little bit of an overview about what you guys do and what you're trying to achieve?
Sure. So Pussy Palace is a collective of DJs, of activists, of community organizers that hold space for queer women, trans and non-binary people of color. The main thing that we do is run a club night once a month, and that's been going for about 4 years. It started out as like a house party by Sky and the Dean, who are the founders, just because they were sick of going out and getting harassed and all of the bullshit that comes along with being a queer person in the world. The club night's been going for about 4 years. We've got our birthdays in November.
Oh, so exciting.
That'll be a 4-year anniversary then. We kind of just pop up and do things here and there. We started doing some workshops and some more like wholesome stuff. More sober related stuff as well, because we kind of want to create a space for queer people to commune, queer people of colour to commune outside of a club.
I think that's really important, because so much of queer culture completely revolves
around
that.
It's like
we've
been shoved in that little box. We're like, okay, you can have this.
Yeah.
It's like, no, we deserve, we're not vampires, we deserve to be in the daylight as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Oh, this is a joy. We've got the lovely Dan here with us. How are you doing?
Yes, I'm great. How are you?
I'm amazing. You look incredible.
Good.
You both look incredible.
You look good.
And I feel like this is what I was expecting, considering, you know, everything that you're doing.
You. Yeah.
I guess what I would be really interested in hearing from the both of you is, I feel like whenever I have a conversation about, you know, these spaces and how important they are, I feel like it goes over a lot of people's heads. I feel like a lot of people don't understand why these spaces are so important. You have a lot of people say, you know, oh, we have like LGBT plus spaces, everything's fine, everyone's included, these spaces are for everyone. But I don't feel like they are, and I don't feel like they are inclusive enough. So it'd be great to hear from you guys, I guess. You know, what was it like before you felt like you had a space where you could go to and be yourself and be proud of who you are?
I always say that it's like you're walking around holding your breath. Mm. And it was only until I went to Pussy Palace that I could actually like, oh, this is what breathing feels like.
Yeah.
But I wasn't umming and ahhing about what I was dressed, how I was presenting, and like what ramifications that would have for me. The way people would interact with me or treat me or possibly harass me. And then also to just look around and see reflections of yourself. I think PP nights are like a great opportunity for people to really learn about the community, but learn about themselves through seeing people that reflect them.
Mm. Yeah, I totally agree. Thank you. And for me, when I came to the UK, I really was just interested in people that looked like me and partying with people that looked like me. And every time I looked for queer events, because in the States, it's a bit more progressive in that sense of like the queer community. They've been expressing themselves for a bit longer, it seems like, together. So when I got here, it just felt really dry.
Yeah.
Felt really stale. Mm. And it felt like I just didn't have a place to be visible and feel comfortable partying with the music that I wanted to, expressing myself however I wanted to on the night, and like then having that reflected back to me. That's important to me. That makes me feel like synced up, you know, and comfortable in a city or a place. So yeah, the evolution of Pussy Palace has really created that, like, oh, there's community.
Tell me more about self-love and consent, my two favorite things.
Self-love, I love talking about it because I'm practicing it and searching for it for myself daily. So it's nice to just be able to give my experience of that, give tools to people, like little tools, daily things that you can do to remind yourself, put yourself first, and also help you in creating boundaries for yourself when you're out in the world. Little things, like some things I shared this year was just some new practices of taking time to be with myself, being okay with being with myself, learning how to like pamper myself, what that looks like, what do I need, because it fluctuates, you know, depending on how the moon is and how you're responding to it. Like things just be fucking up. And you know, sometimes the tools that you used to use expire. And so this year I just, it was a nice exploratory conversation. And we do it with other team members, so they're able to also share their experiences. And we had a nice turnout, really, really nice turnout. Really, and you wouldn't think that in the middle of a festival necessarily people would want to turn down in that kind of way. But
you know, it makes sense to me. Like, I think that that's so needed. And I think it goes back to what you were saying earlier, Aidan, about, you know, that need for, particularly within queer spaces, you know, for it not to all revolve around, you know, alcohol and like partying, intense partying all the time. You know, something like that is lovely and so needed. And I'm glad the response was good as well, because you need it to be to continue doing these things. Yes.
That was the really heartwarming thing, because you have people who knew nothing about Pussy Palace, who were just going to Love Box to see Solange and whoever else was on the bill, and just stumbled upon our tent and were like, we'll just, you know, meander in, and then sat there for a workshop and was like, wow, it nourished my soul in ways that I didn't know I needed. And then they could go off and like enjoy the rest of the festival the way they wanted to.
That's so lovely. Even just, I feel relaxed just listening to you guys talking about it. I feel super safe. I feel like I'm in good company.
Super intentional.
Yeah. Fubar Radio presents
Nick Helm and Nathaniel Metcalf's Fan Club.
We're joined in the studio now by Lloyd Griffith. You also do impressions, don't you?
No. No, come on.
But you do, though, don't you?
I do impressions of Sellotape.
Okay, so Christopher Lee is expecting Ian McKellen round any minute now. Ian McKellen is early, and Christopher Lee hasn't wrapped Ian McKellen's birthday present yet.
So it's improv.
Yeah.
I think that I would like to leave the tape up to you. Whoa.
Are you too pissed? What is going on?
Every Friday.
Nick Helm and Nathaniel Metcalf's Fan Club.
From 12 p.m.
FUBAR Radio.
We're joined in the studio now by Tom Crowley.
Hello, I'm Tom Crowley.
How are you doing? You all right?
I'm very well. Yeah, it's nice to be here. Thanks for having me.
You're very welcome. Thanks for coming in.
Pleasure.
Have you seen The Master of Disguise starring Dana Carvey?
No, I'm fascinated.
Don't take it.
Yeah, is it?
If you're
a
lucky,
cursed object.
You it could looks, win this.
It's got that lovely look at the front. Like, it looks, the official DVD cover looks like the rip-off one you'd get down the market.
It does, yeah. It doesn't look like a real DVD.
No, I don't believe there's a film on there.
No, there is.
Is it just like Dana Carvey's showreel, but they've added a slight narrative element to
pretty
it?
Much.
Yes, that's what it
although
is.
Although Dana Carvey made quite an impact on Saturday Night Live doing his George W. Bush impressions
he
over
did.
The years. I think actually he did George Bush Senior.
Yeah.
And then he came back. He came back to do George W. Bush.
Did he? How long have you been off the show at that point?
I don't know, but his George W. Bush impression in Master of Disguise, I can understand it not being very good on a live TV broadcast.
No, exactly.
Yeah.
But something that's been filmed for all time.
They can do more than one take on those things, have you heard?
Doesn't make any sense.
No.
It's really weird, though. I'd say George W. Bush's inclusion in this is really weird because, I'll tell you this, when he was playing the turtle guy,
Turtle guy.
Yeah.
Yep.
One of the characters that he plays.
Right.
That's right. That's what I
can you do an impression for me now of what the turtle guy sounds like?
Turtle, turtle.
That's pretty
okay.
good.
All right,
that's
yeah.
better than
yeah, nice.
Dana Carvey's.
And he invented the character.
He did. Yeah, he does.
So the guy, the character Pistachio Disguise plays the character Turtle
Guy. Every time
you
say it.
Turtle Guy.
Yeah.
It sounds funny, though, doesn't it? It sounds like a funny film. You know, it's got Brent Spiner in it from Star Trek Nemesis.
Star Trek Nemesis, yeah. That's what I mainly know him from.
So Turtle Guy makeup and all of that took hours, and they filmed the Turtle Guy scene on September 11th, 2001.
Great.
So while he was in the makeup chair, the attacks on the Twin Towers would have happened, and then they went ahead and filmed the scene. And and the thing that's weird about all this is that September 11th, the events of September 11th are really what solidified George W. Bush as the president of that time. Because before then, he was mainly playing golf. He wasn't really doing much.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone thought of him as a bit of like a time filler president. And then when September 11th happened, that's when it really sort of like solidified him as he is the president of the ages, where there was this huge historical thing that happened while he was the president, and he kind of like coasted on that, and and he built a legacy around that.
Yeah.
But when he was included as a character in Master of Disguise, that hadn't happened yet.
No.
So it was kind of like you've just put in this random impression that you can do.
But it is. It makes you think Dana Carvey can actually only do four impressions. And they've built a showcase around someone who can do
He's
four
doing Tony Montana from Scarface.
Yeah. Yeah. But he doesn't call him that. They call him something else. But he's like
Tony Spaghetti.
But he is like going,
would be
hoo-ha, hoo-ha.
hoo-ha.
We mean
hey,
from
your little cockroach. Say hello to my little anchovy. Ha, hoo-ha, hey. Say hello to my little...
But dressed as Tony Montana.
I'm
yeah.
Al Pistachio. Ha, ha. I'm Al Pistachio. Ha, 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 ha. Pistachio Disguise. Ha.
This is better than watching the film.
No, this is what the film is like. That's
right.
What
oh,
it's
right.
like.
So it's exactly the same.
It's like that. That's what the sort of dialogue's like as well. It's like that.
Amazing.
It's what? That sort of like... With Brent Spiner from Star Trek Nemesis sort of like playing a baddie with a gun and like... I'll get you next time. And he's like going, hoo-ha, hoo-ha. And it's like, he's just going, oh, God. And it's an hour, 16 minutes.
My little friend, my little cockroach.
Cockroach.
Yee-haw. But, you know, he's dressed up as Tony. I mean, look, there's a picture of him as Tony Montana there.
Yeah, I've got it.
There's also a picture of him down here.
Sorry, just to clarify.
Canadian Prime Minister.
He looks like Andy Samberg when he's dressed as Tony Montana, more than Al Pacino.
Yeah, that's...
This is terrible for the radio.
Who
does
he look
trust
like?
Me,
he looks like the guy out of Always Sunny in Philadelphia.
Oh, yes. The main guy. Is that Glenn Howerton?
Yeah,
is that
the one thinking? The guy that left and then came back.
Oh, well,
you Or did he come
me.
Back? I don't know.
Who left?
Oh, he left later on, didn't
right.
he? To get a career somewhere else. He was in the first season of Fargo.
Oh, okay.
Oh, was he now? Okay. I love that show.
Yeah,
I mean,
he gets a horrible death, though.
Oh, does he? What happens to him? Spoilers.
Or in the first season.
Yeah.
If you haven't seen it already.
I have seen it.
Can't
remember who he plays.
Billy Bob Thornton.
is he's the keep fit guy with the fake tan. He's the idiot guy.
Oh,
and
yes,
he tapes into an exercise machine and he gets shot up.
Oh, I thought it'd be worse than that.
It's really horrible.
Fargo, a man's head explodes after an air conditioner falls on it. Like, you know, spoilers.
In the first season.
No, later. I won't say who.
Second season.
I think it's the third.
I think that that's like harsh, but like the tone of the what I didn't like about the first season was that the tone was so like it veered between really broad, like there's a guy in a van selling zombie survival kits.
That at all.
Yeah, and it's kind of like that wouldn't be in the Coen Brothers universe.
No.
So it's really broad, but then it was also sort of like, and I know the film is sort of mean-spirited, or it's not mean-spirited, it's sort of, look at these idiots. Look at how greed has corrupted them into making all these stupid life decisions.
Yeah.
But like the film was just kind of like there's the guy, and it's like it's really the way he gets shot up is just kind of like they shoot him for ages and ages, and he's
right.
And you go, he wasn't a cunt, he was just a bit of a dickhead.
A bit of a doofus. Yo,
turn me up, yeah, come on, yeah. You're listening to Football Radio. Kill projects, 1 8-pound holding it down, that's the motto. Low boost and lottos, blunts on the regular. OG style, I'm in the OV, swinging in cabs, slinging the OZs. All I know is running in fiends' labs, hitting the green bags, visualizing chef in the green jacks. Wait till I get on, the haters gonna hate it in this corner. Rich young Don with a Chris Mack.
Selling that crack, yeah. Niggas make bread by busting the gap. Might stick a nigga up, stab him dead in his back. It's a dirty bread game, but we get them stacks. It's a bread game, rather have bread than fame. Some sell pills and weed, it ain't no joke. Might sell anything as long as we not broke. So if you getting that bread, we be coming for your throat. It's crazy what a brother might do for the bread. Might violate parole till your family is dead. We get bread in the ghetto while we duck in the feds. I heard bread in the ghetto got a loaf on his head. Come on.
Listen to me, brother, listen to me, listen to me, legislator, how do we get rid of rats in the ghetto?
Yo, we ops them, duff them, stuff them in black bags, torture them, toss them out the window with rip rags. We don't take kindly to rats in the ghetto. If your mouth stay shut or get slapped with the metal. Big fat rats get fried like pork chops for snitching. Get your ass hung like a war clock. It's Tone Stark, Billy the Kid when the gun bark. A wire sticking out his shirt, he's talking to knock.
Came from the same mothers, in the projects, under the same covers, wore the same drawers, fucked the same whores, roll dice, kick rhymes, did crimes in the same halls, spread our names on the same walls. Yo, your kids do my kids, your whiz do my whiz. Now you're caught up in music and showbiz. If that's what it is, then that's what it is. Run up in your crib with 12 black brothers that'll die just to live, die just to live. Some call us martyrs, some call us fathers. Run up in the club like the suicide bombers.
be the brothers. Many clash lovers never want to see us blow behind others. Somewhere in the competition, friends got lost. The money got flipped, the tables got crossed. Now you're all caught up in that label talk. Brain dead in the grave of thoughts. With a name in the game that can change New York. We ate from the same four pops. Had the same thoughts, 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 same
thoughts, same thoughts, same thoughts, same thoughts, same thoughts, same thoughts, same thoughts, same thoughts, same thoughts, same thoughts, same thoughts, same thoughts, same thoughts, same thoughts, same thoughts, same thoughts, same thoughts, same thoughts, same thoughts, same thoughts, same thoughts,
same thoughts, same thoughts, same thoughts, same thoughts, same thoughts, same thoughts, same thoughts, same thoughts, same thoughts, same thoughts, same thoughts, same thoughts, same thoughts, same. Oh my gosh, girl power. That is what it is, but we don't have to like really say just like smother it all over there because then it becomes cheesy.
Yeah.
So I want it to be like, forget the gender for a second, make it an amazing, it's a hit.
So,
and it's a hit because it's a hit, that, not because we're girls.
But that is really interesting what you've just said, because I call myself a female DJ because it's putting me in a niche that is beneficial for me. But it's interesting that you don't want to use that niche because you're like, nah, we're just good quality performers and artists.
Every Thursday from 4 p.m. on Foobar Radio.
Jay Loon is here. Hi, babe.
Hi, how are you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm great.
First, actually, I want to talk a little bit about the beginning. You were born in Watford.
Uh-huh, yeah.
What was it like growing up there? What were your musical influences?
So, you know, it's kind of like a satellite town. You're kind of in London, not really, you know. Anybody that's not from London is like, you're from London, and then everybody who's from London is always like, you're not. So
you're not one of us.
Exactly. So you're kind of constantly one foot in, one foot out, but that's kind of, it's kind of nice. You kind of get the best of both if you want it. But yeah, I grew up, I listened to a lot of Stevie Wonder through my dad, and you know, we had like the Beatles, and my mum's side was Whitney, it was Celine. So I had some great songwriters and amazing
divas.
Songs. Divas and just great songwriting.
Yeah.
Just so much soul from all of it. So I think that really was something I had in me, I like to think, from just like having listened to that growing up and growing up and growing up with it.
I think Celine Dion is one of my favourite people ever. Is that, you did mean Celine Dion?
Yeah.
Imagine if you're like, no, Celine, someone else. Celine Dion is an icon.
I mean, just also, she's really stepped into, even with all the outfits she's got.
Nah, she's next level.
She's like,
she's iconic. Like,
I think, I can't remember what a Met Gala one, but I remember she did it was like the jeweled carnival. It was the jeweled carnival thing, wasn't it? Like the kind of the carnival inspired outfit. It was crazy.
She wore a bird outfit for the Met Ball. Like,
wow.
A bit, it had like big bird wings.
She just doesn't care anymore, really. She's just like, I'm doing me and you're going to accept it. I'm Celine Dion and this is what you get.
But like, if you're booking the theme of camp at the Met Gala, if Celine Dion's not there, then I'm unsubscribing. Like,
yeah.
I'm not involved.
She knew the brief and she just was like, yep.
She is the brief.
Yeah, exactly.
She is the brief. But I don't know if you've ever seen like the videos where she does there's mashups of her just being absolutely nutty, being like, and she's like, she was doing the before Cardi B even started. Like, she is the queen.
I need to see these.
She's the queen of the random noise. I will send you one because I think it will educate you in another level to Celine Dion. Now, so you had all these great influences of the divas, but also incredible songwriters like Stevie Wonder. But you started off with classical training, musically.
So I started playing piano from the age of 7. That was my first instrument.
God, yeah, at 7, I was just picking my nose. You were there.
I mean, it might have not been amazing, but I was, you know, I was plunking along, just playing.
You could
playing
play like, chopsticks like
yeah,
nobody
yeah. Oh,
else.
Oh, you know, I was like in year 4, just whacking it out. Everyone was going crazy.
Amazing.
Yeah, so I was doing piano, and then I got into singing, and kind of was just always doing it. But I kind of felt like, with the restrictions of kind of classical training, you get given the pieces. You got to do what you got to do, and like that's kind of it. And there's not a lot of, you can play these incredible pieces of music that we all know and, you know, they are amazing. But in terms of your own creativity, you're very much restricted to what's on the page. And I always wanted to kind of do my own thing. And I had a very strong vision about what I wanted to do in songwriting. And I kind of have taken what I've learned from classical and I guess have just applied it into what I want to do. And kind of I keep what I want and like left the rest behind. But to be honest, it's helped me a lot.
It's good with discipline. It's good with like learning how to be, I guess, do music, but it doesn't have to influence your style, actually.
No.
Because your style has got to be you. I mean, Naomi Banks, who we just had in, she trained classically as well to begin with. She was just talking about how
since not being like training classically, it's kind of weird because you're not focusing on your vocals, you're doing it in a different way. But I think it's positive to kind of go with the flow and see where it takes you.
I mean, absolutely. Otherwise, you're just never going to find your own identity, especially in this. And it's exciting to be a bit lost.
FUBAR Radio presents Ian
Molesworth. Johnny Vegas is in the studio.
This morning, I lost 20 minutes thinking, what would I do if an ostrich came in again? And that's 20 minutes I'm never getting back.
What would you do? What?
My first instinct was, I'd try and bring it down with my shoulders, my upper body strength and some laces.
Right, okay.
Then I thought maybe I'd tie two trainers together and do a... You know, go for the ankle.
That was hurting, yeah.
Bring it down. That's like good. An
attack. Yeah. If I did manage to capture it, whose neighbour's garden would have let it free? Why must I get stuck with this bloody ostrich?
Every Monday,
Ian Boltsworth
from 4 p.m.
FUBAR Radio.
We're joined in the studio now by by Gwyneth Keyworth. Hi, Gwyneth.
Hiya.
And
good luck.
And I've done it once already on the show, and it's really difficult. Even phonetically, it's hard. Now, is it Prashana?
There's no sure, no, but the rest of it's right.
Well, I'll tell you what's wrong. I'll tell you why. It's because Theo, right, who's through there, he's been saying Prashana all day. So that's his fault. I would have said Prasanna.
Then you'd have been right.
Right, so that's what I would have said. And for the second name,
there's no H.
I'd have just called you Prasanna P, is what I think I would have done.
It takes me back to primary school. I can remember when I started primary school and these other 6 years, I was like, we're not calling you that.
It's an odd one, though, isn't it? I'm going to do it.
Yeah, go on then. Give it. It's literally just how it looks.
Pawana Raja.
Perfect. Nailed it.
But you've got to take a breath before
you've
it.
You've got to back yourself, is what it is. You've got to back yourself and be like, this is going to be fine.
Pawana Raja. Well, it's about defending the guilty, which it's been kind of heavily trailed as well, isn't it? On TV, they're pushing this. And it's Will Sharp, who I sort of know a little bit. Yeah, a little bit.
I feel like everyone sort of knows Will.
Yeah.
He's an enigma.
Not dissimilar to Nick Mohammed, I don't think, in terms of their gregariousness, in terms of that people know them in the industry, and that's sort of, you know, they're pleasant people, and Nick's very much like that. Will, if memory serves me correctly, once did a bit part in a Peacock and Gamble show.
Okay.
Where he just came down to King's Place when we were doing a live show. Mm-hmm. Nick did as well, Nick Mohammed did too. And I'm sure that Will came down because he was sort of always mooted as being a little potential star, Will.
Didn't he do W1A or something? He did like a little part in that, and along with Tom Basden.
Yeah.
The two of them were like, well, I think Tom was like already underway, but then Will did this thing.
Yeah.
And everyone's like, oh, who's that guy? He's like, that's really good.
He's like a posh kid, isn't he? He's like Cambridge and all that.
Yeah.
And Catherine, I know. Catherine Parkinson, because I used to work on IT Crowd. And I used to like Catherine an awful lot. I say used to as if we fell out.
Yeah.
You can say it. You fell out.
And I'm meeting. No, I don't think. I don't recall.
famously, just jettisons.
He's like huge, huge bust up.
Unpleasant person, Catherine.
Punches
really.
Were thrown. Yeah.
That's why I didn't do the special at the end of IT Crowd, because it was like, we can't have them two in the same room at all.
You separately. Separate shooting days.
I was never in it. I was the warm-up. And Gwyneth, I met you before, because you've been on the show before.
Yeah.
When we were talking about, I can't remember what it's called.
Power Monkeys.
That thing on Channel 4.
Yeah.
So dismissive.
That thing you did that time.
Yeah.
This is a new series.
Yeah.
It's the pilot plus one series is what I've got written here. So I presume the pilot was shot and that's now part of the series?
Yeah, now that's now episode one.
Okay.
Yes.
How many eps are there?
There are six eps, 30 minutes.
Okay.
And the pilot was on telly
this time last year.
Yeah, about a year ago.
Okay.
And we shot it at the start of what we now 19, so the start of 18.
Yeah.
The pilot's like 2 years old, basically.
Yeah.
I wasn't anywhere near as grey as I am now. I've bodily changed since then.
Well, a year is kind
not
of
not in a good way.
No, but I've had the same thing recently. I've just done a pickup on a film that, for a scene that's been inserted into a scene that was shot 2 years ago.
Yeah.
And I'm like watching. Like, can we do something with the grade? Can we? Like,
you're like that. I literally look like a different species.
Yeah.
But I just had glandular fever when we filmed the pilot, so my face is really, really puffy compared to then. You're going from scene, because we've had to reshoot a couple of scenes from the pilot because there's a slightly different cast.
Yeah.
And my glands are much different. My neck is a lot thicker. And then it's suddenly a lot thinner.
Between
shots. You're going from thick neck Gwyn to slightly slimmer neck. I mean, not that I've got a really big neck anyway.
You gave yourself a complex in one conversation. I saw something recently, and I'm really trying to remember what it was. where there was a girl in it who looked dramatically different. Oh, it was Star Wars.
Yes.
It was Revenge of the Sith. It was Natalie Portman. Natalie Portman, at the beginning of Revenge of the Sith, the third of the prequels,
yeah.
In her first scenes, she kind of looks ill. Like, she's, like, really skinny. And she doesn't look like that for the rest of the film. She's, you know, just perfectly normal size that she already was. But in the first scene, she looks very drawn and very skinny and that. And it's very noticeable.
She's having a stressful time.
Maybe. I don't think I was speaking to her at that point.
Apparently, in Pirates of the Caribbean 10 or something, yeah. When Penelope Cruz is in it,
right.
Apparently she was pregnant throughout all of it, right? And right. Rather than get a different actress in, they green-screened out her belly. I'm obsessed with it. Imagine the hours. Really
and imagine money. The complex and of that money. Child as it gets older.
I would be like, yeah. Mummy didn't want me.
Yeah, denied. You were denied yeah. in denied. Hollywood films. Really well, often in American series, when they're long-running things and somebody falls pregnant, who's a regular cast member, they'll often just be carrying a folder.
Tuesday Takeover with Jack Fowler on FUBAR Radio.
Yo, my guy, what's going on?
We got arms, Kelly.
Hey, I've been waiting for this for the longest. Mama made it. Mama made it. Hey, don't chat to me. When you see me on road, don't chat to me, guys. Man's on here babe. With the Jack of Fowlers, isn't it? You get me?
You're so big, yeah? I'm scared.
What is it? What's that thing? Island of Love and that. Yeah?
Island of Love Jeez. And that. I love the energy. What's good? I love the energy.
Whisper.
You are a unit, innit?
Mm. Nah, not really, man. I'm just out here
trying to be like you, fam. But, like, I done 2 plates in the bench press today.
Oh, yeah. Come on, like, obviously, man's warming up with that one. Let's do it.
Yeah.
We move.
It's a wee move.
How much do you weigh?
How much do I weigh? Like 18 stone.
Bro, that's
I'm 16. Blood.
Oh, yeah.
And I think I'm 40.
40 what?
14 kilograms.
No, 14 kilograms. No, you mean 14 stones.
Stone.
If you're 14, okay, yeah. you're dead. Yeah, you're dead.
Yeah, it's
done out here.
If I'm 14,
bro, you need to eat. Eat up, man.
Yeah, I actually do.
At 5 goats in the morning, you get me. 12 o'clock.
I just hung up.
12 o'clock, couple babies and that. Yeah. 1 p.m.,
yeah.
A bit of salad and that. And then like 2:45,
yeah.
Couple BBWs, innit?
Can you imagine this guy in the club? Imagine trying to lotion a girl, yeah, for the longest time in the club.
And he just walks over.
He comes over, yeah, and imagine we don't know each other. He comes over, he just puts his arm around the girl. He goes, babe, you're mine. Come here.
First of all, her collarbone's gone.
Yeah.
If he puts his arm on her collarbone is gone.
Yeah, whiplash.
I'm sorry.
But what are you doing? What are you going to do?
Obviously, I'm going to smother him and be like, you know what?
Yeah, bro, you've got to fight, fam.
Fight who? For who? Look at the size of you.
Hold it down, fam. Brethren. Hold it down, cuz. Bun that, fam.
Man's 6-pack's bigger than my cuffs.
Listen, fam.
I'm done.
You've got to hold it down for your girl, innit? Hold it down for your girl. Fight me, fam.
Nah. Imagine it's not my actual girl, though.
I was trying to.
It's not my actual girl. I'm lotioning in the club.
Yeah, but if you, bruv, hold it down for your thing, innit? Come on, bruv. No,
I'll just be like, yo, I'll just warming it up.
She said there's many fishes on in the sea, so you just got to keep stepping in.
I'll just warming it up for...
Have you met arms?
But don't watch that, innit? Man ain't down with OPP, innit? You do your thing, fam. Don't watch that, man.
About what?
OPP, other people's property.
Right, that's a new one! Slap it out! Chase!
You ain't had that chief, fam?
No.
You down with OPP, yeah, you know me.
Oh, yeah. But I've never heard it. I've never actually heard it actually been used in a... Okay.
Oh, yeah, bro.
Talking about Gyaldo.
Yeah, let's talk about girls for a second.
Ah, cool.
Me and Jamal have been talking about girls for the whole show. But I want to know what you're on.
Well, I'm on.
Yeah,
I know. Wait, can we just side note? Yeah.
Yeah.
The size of him, I hope she's on top of him because, Lord God.
Imagine. Every 3 seconds, something's breaking in the bedroom.
I am finished.
You know the song called Steve Austin Glass Break when he walks out?
Hey,
when he
can you imagine, your girl's laying in the bed, and this guy just walks in.
Listen, I'm out the window.
Baby oiled up.
I'm out the window.
Girl, listen, you're mine. You're mine.
Listen, I'd be like, I hope you're talking about her because, listen, I don't want no part in this. You know what?
Don't worry. Man don't swing them ways.
That's calm.
Me, man.
Let's talk
about girls then.
All right, boom. You see me with girls, yeah, fam?
Wait, are you single, yeah?
Yeah, okay. Very, very single for the longest, fam. Come on, bro. You get me,
hot boy summer.
Now, not even, you know, fam. Wow. You see what it is? Man's just focused on gym and like my grind, isn't it? So, like,
really? I didn't know.
Yeah.
Really?
Like, you won. You won. You can level. You're done. Ascended saying.
No, brother, I don't get too involved in it. I keep them arm's length. Car, like, girls, they're cool in it, but too much drama and problems, bro. So, yeah. Man, just like, I just focus on it.
You just rather lotion the
weights. Yeah, I like, talk, like, obviously, man, you know, I send a couple risky texts here and there, but.
To the weights or to the girl?
No, to the girl. To the girl, yeah. Couple risky messages, like, obviously, like, yeah, standing 69 and that, like, you get me, but obviously, we're moving it. You get me? So, boom.
You know when you're just speechless?
I've got nothing, fam. I'm looking,
if you could see my face, I'm looking in awe, like.
I'm just like, this guy has completed the gym, bro. Listen.
Trust me.
Arms, yeah. What's your Instagram again?
Arms_Corleone.
Right, I need every viewer right now, please. Good. Go to, say it again.
Arms, A-R-M-Z, O-Z, whatever, _KORLEONE.
Yeah. You lot, get onto that gram, yeah? Because when I tell you this guy has completed the gym.
All right, million followers pending, done now.
Yeah. He's a black Super Saiyan, fam.
Bro.
Come on.
He's a black Super Saiyan. Come on.
Man. I appreciate that still.
Your man's a black.
I was talking about that time we first met, Ministry of Sound.
Yeah, that was a proper link up.
And that was, listen, fam, for you,
that was special.
For you, you enjoyed it. I did not enjoy it one piece.
Come on, bro, come
he
on.
He pushed me, listen. Oh. I thought I was fit. Yeah. I thought I was quite fit. I did a boxing class the other day with my boy.
Yeah.
Smashed it. Did all right still. I hadn't done it for about 8 years. Did all right. This guy took me for a little power session. Big man. Couldn't walk.
Nah, wow. But you done your thing, though. You and Chip, man. You locked down your
thing. We tried. Like, yeah.
Chip.
Chipmunk. Yeah. Chip.
Wow. So Chip, if you felt Chip. Dead, how did he feel?
Yeah, bro. Yeah. He went quiet.
You know you're in trouble, you just go quiet.
He don't run out of bars, but you run out of stamina.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, nah.
He's a rock star, isn't it? So he was like, this ain't for me. But he's done his thing.
You're listening to Football Radio. Bandages, bandages, bandages. John Grant. Welcome to the show.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi, Joey.
Do you feel you are appreciated enough in the music business? You're like a genius in music, so...
Thank you for the fantastic compliments. I don't feel particularly great at what I do, so it's always nice to hear that. I don't know, I don't feel like I'm allowed to have an opinion about that. I think I'm probably getting what I can handle. I wonder if I would be able to take the kind of attention that some people get.
Every Wednesday from 2 p.m. FUBAR Radio.
It's now time to welcome my first guest of the afternoon and somebody that I'm very excited to talk to, not only because of what he's done in his career so far, but also what he's bringing to the table with his new work. We're, of course, talking about Tom Fleming, formerly of Wild Beasts, now going under the moniker of One True Pairing. So welcome to the show.
Hi, thank you.
How's it going?
Really, really good. Really well, thank you. Yeah, it's nice to be here.
Also, I should say, full disclaimer at the beginning of this chat, you're my first interview that I've done in about 6 weeks.
Brilliant.
And so who knows how this is, not as in how it's going to go, but do you know what I mean? I'm a bit out of practice, so feel free to pull me up by the bootstraps if you need.
It's been a while since I spoke to people. I'm just starting to sort of speak to people about stuff again as well, about me.
About this, yeah.
Honest. Yeah, rather than like, you know, the job advisor.
Yeah.
It's quite nice.
Is there anything you've started doing recently that you never used to do and now you do it almost on a regular basis?
I've actually joined up as part of the Extinction Rebellion thing.
So have you?
Yeah, so my partners are more heavily involved than I am, but I've kind of been like going to protests and I've been kind of like, I'm trying to do some of the organisation and stuff. I mean, I'm only involved in a very baby way, but it's like,
yeah,
it's something that I can do. It's essentially a fight against the kind of like grand impotence we all find ourselves in, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
like,
right.
Because there's all sorts of stuff kicking off and none of us can do anything about it, so it's like a small step towards trying to do something about it. I'm sorry, that's not very lighthearted.
No, it's fine, but also like in my household, because I live with my wife and her sister, mm-hmm. and she's very heavily into like environmental change, mm-hmm. and stuff, mm-hmm. you know, on the face of it is great, but when you come home and you find out that some of the household budget has gone on 300 rolls of bamboo toilet paper because it's better for the environment. But you're like, how much does that cost?
It's like £17,000. Yeah.
This literally happened. My sister-in-law made some jewellery out of mud and twigs.
Doesn't sound expensive.
No, but that's just like lying around on the windowsill.
Oh,
like,
I see.
Come
on,
let's get rid of this. What's going on? So, on the face of it, yeah. And then, but when in practice, sometimes you're like,
in practice, there are challenges.
Yeah.
There are challenges.
But that's mainly vanity from my vanity and wallet problems. Also, I don't know why I've got this in my head, but I was just on the internet. You know, you've just got to kill a bit of time.
Yeah, and you fall down an internet hole.
Yeah, I was looking at some statues, like bad statues that had been made and things like that. And I saw this weird sketch, the fact that I was watching it. James Corden basically had a statue of David Beckham made, but really badly, and it was like one really elaborate big hoax, and then when they unveiled it, like didn't look anything like him. He had a massive chin, it was just like a big like Beatles about kind of wind up. And so you got me thinking about statues.
Uh-huh.
And if you was to become a statue, like there was gonna be one made in your image, what would you like it to represent? We've already taken a picture of the pose.
Yeah, it's kind of, I was thinking the kind of, is it Heroes or Bowie does the kind of like the weird like taekwondo thing, whatever he's doing. The statue that had the biggest effect on me when I was a kid was, I don't know if you've ever been to Coventry Cathedral. And there's a picture of I should know which saint this is, but I don't, Vanquishing the Devil. And the devil is very controversial when it was unveiled, because the devil is hung like a horse. Like huge new devil.
Are you about to say that you want your statue to be you hung like a horse? Well, that's what you want to represent.
The artist would have to be kind, but I've never considered that anyone might want to build a statue of me. I think when I used to live in Upper Clapton in Hackney, and there was Clapton Pound Plus I used to visit a lot. If they could put a statue of me outside of that, you know, and the various kind of like broken light bulbs I used to buy, that would be a very touching tribute.
That's actually perfect. That's exactly the kind of thing I'm after. So yeah, good answer. And finally, I yesterday had a sort of a personal milestone in my career as a stand-up comedian. I got to support Harry Hill.
Oh wow.
And I've met him a couple of times at just gigs where he's been trying out new material, but it was like the first time I got to spend any like a real amount of time around him. And because he was such like a big influence on me becoming a comedian, I just didn't really know what to talk to him about for quite a lot of it. So, and I just wondered, in your career so far, is there anyone that's like really got you? Like, have you ever been starstruck by anybody?
Yeah, I have. Normally, what the technique is to just list how many times you've seen them. I saw you here, and I saw you here. And there was this one time where, like, I saw you here, and that was different. That was slightly different because you did that this time and not that. And eventually, you just realise you're just talking and you're just expelling carbon dioxide. And bless them, they're trying to be nice, but they're just like,
Yeah, right.
And that's kind of fine. That's like, I'm kind of all right with that. I think when it crosses over from into like when you're trying to be someone's mate and they're kind of like, this was nice, this is now the end of the interaction.
Yeah, right.
Do you know what I mean? And when you can't take that hint, that, I mean, I've definitely been guilty of that.
And is there someone that you...
I was certainly a Michael Gira of Swans was a big influence on me. I've met him a few times and just like made a complete tit of myself.
Yeah, right.
He was very, you know, very generous and everything, but still made a fool of myself.
It's almost worse when people are generous because it forces you, well, it doesn't force you, but you think, oh yeah, I can keep going at this. We'll be best friends by the end of the
security,
afternoon.
It's a false sense of security, isn't it? Yeah. They're handing you the rope to hang yourself with.
Yeah.
Fubar Radio presents...
The fucking king of R&B for me, Donald Jones, man.
You know, appreciate it. Love ain't going nowhere. You know, that's universal. That's God.
Yeah.
So that's not going anywhere. You know what I mean? We can all get sex and all of that. You know, we can talk about that. But the love, the makeup, relationships, breakup, those things, that's going to happen.
Yeah. So my friend Millie says, I want to know why he doesn't make music for us anymore. Who have I got to sleep with to get a 2019 joint?
I don't know who you have to sleep with, but I mean, you will get a 2019 joint. That's for sure.
And Marcel Somerville.
Every Wednesday
from 4 p.m. FUBAR Radio.
We have a very talented artist amongst us. Also a very beautiful magazine brought to us by this very talented artist. It really is beautiful. Petrichor magazine. Can we have this?
Yes, that's for you guys.
But we've got to share it, we've got to pass it around.
Okay. Alright. That very authoritative voice that's granted us permission to keep this is the voice of 13.
Hello.
How are you doing? You're
right. I am good, thank you.
You were formerly editor of ID Japan.
Yes.
But left to kind of start up your own thing. Was that because Japan's press as a wider issue, or did you leave because of the magazine specifically?
I originally, before I joined, because I used to work for another magazine before ID, but I've always gone into editing because I wanted to learn how to edit and make in order to make my own in the future.
Yeah.
So it's not like anything was wrong with ID. I just figured everything out, like the formality of making a magazine.
Right.
And I'm not really like, I'm not trying to be somebody's right hand. And like, you know, ID is a beautiful magazine, but it's made by somebody else.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
It's not really something that I wanted to try to commit to in the long term.
Right.
So once I figured out, you know, the technical stuff about magazine, you know, printing and stuff like that, I was like, I'm out.
I love that. Love that. And set up, like I said, this issue, what number is this in the sort?
Well, that's issue number, issue one, but it's the second issue, because the first issue was issue zero.
Of course.
Yes.
You're doing it like years.
Yeah, kind of.
Millennia and
so
stuff.
So I put the issue zero, the first issue, out March 2018. And I fully funded it myself, you know, spoke to people that I knew to shoot everything. Like, nobody got paid. Like, it was a very, very, like...
Pulling in mad favors.
Yeah. And I put it out. And for some reason, a lot of hip-hop producers in Japan and rap producers in Japan saw it and convinced me to rap.
Yeah.
Because it was the first time that I put in my original work out, you know, because I've been working for other medias. So then you have to follow their rules, you know, be it like no swearing or like whatever.
Right.
And with Japanese media, I think is way more fake than media that I see here.
Right.
So it's like if you interview an artist, you cannot like say anything bad about them.
Okay. Yeah, which is why I asked when you sort of you know ducked out from ID, was it an issue with the wider press in Japan?
I have a general problem with the country of Japan, like not only the media. It's very oppressed. It's very hush hush. You're not supposed to speak on everything. And as a nation, like any magazine I would have ever gone to, it would be the same, which is why with Petrichor I'm very persistent to not take any ads because then I will be controlled. So I'd rather...
Oh, right. Is that the way to escape to avoid sort of you know, penalization?
So it's not going to be like owned by anybody. In other words, that this as a magazine won't necessarily ever make a lot of money because it's never going to be like have sponsors or anything, at least in Japan. So I'm keeping it very independent.
That's real.
But because I put this magazine out, because it's the four of us, there's me who does creative direction and the fashion element, and I do also the writing words and the constructing of the entire magazine. There's a girl that does a set design and prop mm-hmm. styling, and there's a boy that does hair and makeup and nails and all the beauty aspects. And then there's a girl that's really good at making things, mm-hmm. like the blood video. She made the blood, like, you know, all of the DIY stuff. So because we put it out, the four of us started getting client work for, you know, department store ads or lookbooks and stuff. So it works like that now.
Yeah.
It's almost self-funding.
Yes.
That's brilliant.
Do you know what? I actually watched a video for Blood this morning, and like the actual production on it is actually amazing. I was literally like, raw, this is like, there's so many different shots and so many different like outfits and all that kind of stuff. Yeah. It just looks dope, man. So
yeah.
Basically, I've had three videos before Blood when I first put out my music at the end of last year. But for Blood, we wanted to make it like an aesthetics video. So in the magazine and also with other client stuff, I do a series of self-portraits. So in Petrichor, there's this one called Love in Plastic. It's fantastic, I think.
Is that from the Aqua song?
Yeah. But I do these self-portrait series, and so we wanted to make a motion version of that. So with Blood, we basically developed five characters and made it so it's like a moving editorial. Right. And people think a lot more money went into it than it actually did, because we made everything except for the bunnies.
Yeah, like I was literally thinking the production on it, because like I shot a video yesterday, and I was like, yeah, that one looks sick. Then I watched your one, I was like, raw. They must have actually done a lot.
Nobody slept for 3 weeks before the shoot. Like, we had so much trouble making fake blood, because the blood drop scene, we could only do it once, because, you know, the clothes are going
to I was thinking that as well, because it's like you snap it in it, then it all drops in it, yeah.
So, and then everything will get like bloody. Yeah. So we rehearsed it with the stand-in person, like the angles and stuff for how to drop, but we made 70 liters of fake blood. And we would have bought it had we had the budget, but like that would have cost.
How long did it take to get it all off? Because I'm guessing it would have got that mad sticky.
Yeah, yeah. To get it off?
Yeah.
My like body was kind of pink for like a week. And it was like terrible, because the day after I shot it, I go on talk shows kind of like to talk about political stuff. So I had that. So I was being filmed, and like everyone's like, why are you so pink? And I couldn't tell anybody, because, you know, the information wasn't out yet. So I was like, like I had a shoot yesterday.
I was a lobster.
Yo, what's going on, y'all? This is Master Ace Juice Crew.
Hey, yo, what up? Cool G Rap, baby, all day, every day.
The BIGDADDYKANE.
Roxanne Shante, Please Believe It from the Juice Crew, baby.
MC Shamf.
And you're listening to FUBAR
Radio.
FUBAR Radio presents
Black Street. FUBAR Radio was off the chain. We had a great time speaking to everybody. We felt like we were home in there. They calling us legends throughout the whole show.
Right. And they're funny.
Yeah. You're listening to FUBAR Radio.
She knows it.
What would we do?
Usually drink, usually dance, usually bubble.
to do is tell you I love you.
That's when I start promising the world to a brand new girl I don't even know yet. Next thing she's wearing my Rolex. Too much shams, don't know where my phone is. Here's my number, she already knows it. This chapter's a lot, better close it. Just the look in her eye was so evil. Wiley's a party guy and she knows it. To a brand new girl I don't even know yet. Next thing she's wearing my Rolex.